You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
This is June 13, 2022, and as we had reported earlier today, the Supreme Court is not going to issue a ruling today on the Dobbs, Mississippi case, which would, in fact, if the release of that document last month is true, overturn Roe v. Wade. Numerous additional guards and guard rails and fencing have been put up around the Supreme Court to protect it, expecting the decision to come any day. Now, it may not come until late June or early July. And at last check, there's still no decision by the Attorney General to enforce the federal statute that you cannot protest in front of a federal judge's home, specifically a Supreme Court justice home, simply because you might not like the decision the judge might be willing to deliver. In other words, you're going to intimidate and threaten. And yes, a man was arrested last week with weapons and said his intent was, according to police, to kill Brett Kavanaugh and maybe his family if he voted to overturn Roe v. Wade or vote to support the Mississippi law, which would in effect say Roe v. Wade would no longer be law of the land. Reminding you again, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Rumble.com, go to rumble.com, enter in one word, Larry Connors USA. Type it all as one word. It'll take you direct to our page. You'll see past rumbles, and you can join us live in studio as we're speaking. So the Senate gun control agreement that came out Sunday, as I had mentioned in earlier, the last segment, does include an investigative period for some background checks. It's specifically dealing with gun buyers younger than the age of 21, requiring an investigative period to review juvenile and mental health records. But there's no stipulation on how long this investigative period can last. It will certainly be looking at any juvenile records the buyer might have. That's acceptable. I have no problem with that. Same thing with checking for anyone that has a criminal charge of any type against them before they buy a gun. But how long are you going to take to do it? In other words, just keep stalling. And what was left out? It does not include a provision that would expand background checks for all firearm sales or transfer. Good. Currently, background checks are not required for gun sales and transfers by unlicensed and private sellers. For instance, if I have a pistol, you want one, you want that one, I can sell it to you. I don't have to give you a background check. But I will tell you this, if I think you're crazy, a little wacko, and you might go hurt somebody with it, I'm not going to sell it to you. I won't give it to you either. It also left out is the federal ban on so-called military-style assault weapons. That's something Democrats have been pushing. And a higher minimum age of purchase. It does not include a change to the age at which you need to be to buy such a weapon. They wanted to raise it from 18 to 21. We have a federal handgun law that says you have to be 21. Those got left out. Despite those, President Biden says, I'll sign whatever they send me. A man was shot dead today in Duncanville, Texas. He had walked into a facility where children were attending a youth summer camp. 150 kids inside. Police located the subject, engaged with him. Shots apparently were exchanged. The subject was shot to death by police. Good. If his intent was going to harm those kids, good. In the meantime, a member of President Biden's Council on Economic Advisers said, to the extent the White House has missed anything in terms of the inflation story. We're not going to relitigate that, but what I understand is what you think the lesson of it was, and to the extent the public wants to know, there was a lesson that was being asked a question. That was a question from a CNBC host, and the member of the Biden Council Economic Advice says, no, I don't think we missed much. We're on top of everything. We know everything. He didn't say it, but I guess he also knows inflation just hit 8.6%, and it's going to go up again. And the gas prices are still going up. Biden may release more oil from our strategic reserve trying to buy votes. No, they're not on top of anything. Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think that we have a rule of law in this country, and you don't get to just have a mob descend on a Supreme Court justice's house or try to impede the operations of government because there may be a decision you don't like. That would be considered an insurrection to stop a court from functioning, and yet they seem to be able to get away with a lot more than if the shoe were on the other foot. So I think it's been really problematic to watch the behavior there.
I would agree, and those are the words of Florida Governor, Republican Ron DeSantis. And apparently, at last check, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, still is not enforcing the federal law that says you cannot protest outside a justice's homes. This is not meant to interfere with your right of free speech. It just simply says that you cannot do it outside their home if you're trying to sway and redirect their attention. It's a federal law, Title 18, Section 1507 of the U.S. Code. It's right there. But the Attorney General, I guess, just can't seem to find it. He doesn't understand it, or he just does his usual mealy-mouth talk. We're looking, and we're going to check it out and see what happens. And we may have a disinformation committee formed to look at it. Good God. This is our leadership in this country right now. And I would make the same complaint. Make sure you understand this. I would make the same complaint if we had protesters outside the homes of justices that were trying to dismantle the U.S. dismantle our U.S. Constitution. You cannot go to their homes. You cannot protest out there. You can go to the court. Make your voices heard there. You cannot attack the court. You can't attack the judges or their families or their homes. But the other day, Ruth sent us, the group that is pushing that Roe v. Wade be protected as law of the land, not only published some of the justices' homes, doxing them, but the schools where their children or grandchildren might go, and their schedules. That is a direct invitation for anybody who wants to carry out physical harm against them. No, you cannot allow that to happen. But right now what we're getting, as you heard from Governor DeSantis, is the hypocrisy, and it continues again. Governor DeSantis.
Well, you had someone travel from, you know, halfway around the country to come and murder Justice Kavanaugh. And that was like not even significant news in a lot of the mainstream media. And not only was it significant because it's an attack on somebody's life, they're trying to change the outcome of decisions that they are concerned that they don't like. And that is just totally antithetical to a rule of law.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. There's no debate about it. But with this administration, there's also no action, because it does not fit their narrative. And they're absolutely fine with BLM and Antifa burning down cities, attacking police, attacking federal court buildings, and basically letting them go with little or no bond. And in fact, VP Harris, when she was a senator, helping raise money for bonds, such bonds. And they have no problem whatsoever about it. I want to share something by J.B. Shirk, a writer for The Federalist. He said, increasing incidents of political violence are timely reminders while vigorous argument still serves this country best. In other words, you have a dispute, let's argue it. We can sit down and have a discussion or even a debate. You can get loud and shout if you want, but no violence. Here's how he begins the piece. If the recent assassination attempt targeting Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh weren't sufficient proof that a divided America is tiptoeing toward violent conflict, a research firm released a disturbing poll showing that nearly half of male Democrats under the age of 50 believe it is, quote, acceptable. Are you listening? If you're driving, I urge you to be very careful with the next words you hear come from my mouth. Do not lose control. I know it would be easy to do so. He said this poll shows that nearly half of male Democrats under the age of 50 believe it acceptable to assassinate a politician who is harming the country or our democracy. It's acceptable. And then he points out that James Hodgkins nearly succeeded in assassinating an entire baseball field of Republican members of Congress a few years ago. Remember the shooting as they were practicing for the ball game against the Democrats? Just regular routine. I mean, they get on the field and compete. And he said, we're not seeing any abatement of this continued political violence. He said, it was once widely understood that in the U.S., vociferous debate, vigorous policy disagreement were features of a healthy American society. Hashing out arguments over contested issues in the public square had two immediate salubrious effects. It allowed the average American to appreciate the pros and cons of consequential policy decision. It provided those whose viewpoints did not win the day to nonetheless speak their minds. And this is something that I would stress. When I was in college, at high school and later in college, I was on the debate team. And that was really great training, because you had to learn to argue both sides just as full-throated as the other side. Let's say when one of the topics was that we need to get rid of all nuclear weapons, or that we need more of them. We already had more than enough to kill the world itself numerous times over. Well, you would go in and you wouldn't know which side you're supposed to argue until you got there. And you had notes and everything prepared for either side, but then you had to stand up there and defend either side just as strongly as maybe the debate before you defended the other side. It teaches you to appreciate the understanding from the other side. Doesn't mean you agree with it, but understand their points. He goes on, this again, J.B. Shirk in The Federalist says, where does our nation stand today? On the side of free and muscular debate, confident that lively disagreement only strengthens America's foundations, or on the side of insular, state-sponsored dogma that tends to smother the full range of voices naturally expected from a diverse society? He said, I believe we're advancing down a dangerous path in the U.S., one that will only become more treacherous the more we refuse to agree to disagree. I fully agree with his remarks. I've told you before, this program, although some people consider it to be more Republican, conservative, it is that, but it also has libertarian views, independent views. It also has, and I'm speaking from the host himself, some liberal views, and liberal in the minds of others. And my point is, I don't care what your political stripe is. I don't care about which religion you follow. I don't care, as far as my listeners, as to what their sexual habits or preference are. None of my business to begin with, but basically I don't care. I care if you are patriotic and you're an American and you want to be patriotic. That's what this program's about. And I do keep looking for ways that we can bring each other closer together, not divide us. But I will not ignore those who are trying to divide us and some of the nonsense that gets put out there as fact when in fact is not fact. And here's Joe Biden talking to gun owners in Friday in front of a fundraiser with Democrat elites in California. I say gun owner. I doubt any of them had guns, but they probably have security protection, you know. But he was ridiculing lawful gun owners. Speaking at an event in Beverly Hills, California, he raised the issue of gun control as a major priority for his administration. And he was talking about these folks. He said, God darn, Joe, what the hell are you talking about taking my gun away? And he said, I would tell them, let me ask you a question. How many, when you go deer hunting, how many of you are wearing Kevlar vests? And he said, I'm a gun owner. I own two shotguns. My son Bo passed away. Well, again, he wants to invoke his son's name. And I has no bearing on the story of the fact. And he had another shotgun. We like to skeet, shoot. Shoot, skeet, if you want to say it that way. We weren't hunters. And he's frustrated that Republicans won't allow teachers to keep guns in their classroom. He said, my wife Jill was a teacher. She said that idea is dangerous. And he said, more people were killed with a gun in their own home tried to stop a burglar than, in fact, any other cause. I don't know if that's fact. I don't have the facts here in front of me, but to my knowledge, I don't know of many people killed in their own home with their own gun unless they were not ready and prepared to use it, which if you're going to have it, you better be ready to use it, or they will take it away from you and kill you. We had this last weekend, a March for Our Lives at the nation's capital and elsewhere. It was not, again, now this is a difference between March for Life, which is a pro-life anti-abortion group, and then March for Our Lives, which is a gun control group. CNN did an interview at one of these events some years ago, but the remarks the man made, and by the way, he's standing there wearing an NRA cap, and I'm sure that's why they went to him. But this was in 2016 at another such march. Listen to what he had to say.
Yes, I could not figure out why government employees have armed guards, banks have armed guard to protect the money, but the government, for some reason, thought we don't need armed guards to protect our children. Maybe they're less worthy. I don't know. I don't know what their thinking was. All I can't understand is why didn't they protect their children like the government protects itself?
Yeah, perfect question, right? And all these elite politicians and big Hollywood movie stars say you can't have a gun, but you know they've got protection around them. You doubt me? You try to get close to them, find out. Eric Garcia, in a piece for Inside Washington, talked about this group of senators announcing their framework on gun safety legislation, and they insist that while it's still imperfect, it's a step in the right direction. And he points out that if we can allow, or talking about McConnell that if he can allow some modest changes to gun legislation, he could preserve at least some credibility for the Senate, allowing him to insist there's no need to get rid of the 60-vote obstacle. In other words, McConnell went along to get along, but it's more important than that. He points out in this piece that some of those senators, Republicans who voted for it, they are not facing any election. Cornyn, Tillis, Collins of Maine, Castillo, Louisiana, Graham of South Carolina, just won re-election in 2020. They don't have to worry again until 2026, assuming they do. Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, Richard Burr of North Carolina, Rob Portman of Ohio, Roy Blunt of Missouri retiring this year. So they don't have to worry about the wrath of primary voters in voting for this bipartisan gun bill. The only Republican in the group that faces a major risk, he says, is Mitt Romney of Utah, who, as governor of Massachusetts, signed an assault weapons bill. He said there is too much of an incentive for Republicans to not negotiate when their reelection prospects are on the line. For the most part, they can only be reasonably expected to govern once the heat is off. In other words, they're caving. We don't want Republicans who are going to cave. Stand by and stand up for our Second Amendment. It's that simple. Now, the attacks against your children continue, not with guns, but those who want to prey upon your children and tell them, you know, maybe you're the wrong gender, or maybe taking them to drag queen shows. Stand by.
Waking, bun man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. Let you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, you ain't. My son attended Sam Houston MSTC. His teacher, Mr. Patrick Pickler, he was his chemistry teacher. He was also a writer for About Magazine, an LGBTQ magazine. He published an article with a lot of students, and a lot of students on them without authorization. He recruited my son.
You heard it right, and it might have been a little difficult for you to hear, but that's a Houston father addressing a school board in Houston. And, of course, there was a time if your kids were going to be taken to some particular event, especially off campus, parents had to sign a permission slip so they knew where they were going and what it was. It didn't happen in this case. This Houston father said he found out that didn't have anything to do with it. He said chemistry teachers were taking students to drag shows with pedophile performers. That's what he said in front of the Houston school board. I'm going to let you hear more from him in a moment. But he said his son's chemistry teacher, as he pointed out, is, quote, the Latinx columnist for the local LGBTQ magazine. Now, Latinx is what white liberals and Democrats like to use. It's basically Latino one fashion or another, and a lot of Latinos don't like the term Latinx. But in the magazine, the teacher wrote about taking several underage students to the performance. That included this father's son. Now, for the same performer, by the way, took part in drag queen story time in a children's library, having a criminal record of sexually assaulting an 8-year-old. And the library saying, whoops, I guess we should have done a background check. So the chemistry teacher took his son and others to such a show. Once again, the father.
My son attended Sam Houston MSTC. His teacher, Mr. Patrick Pickler, he was his chemistry teacher. He was also a writer for About Magazine, an LGBTQ magazine. He published an article with a lot of students, and a lot of students on them without authorization. He recruited my son. He also took my son to a drag show when he was underage. He took him to a drag show when he was underage, and It was really bad. It was a really bad experience. He also put him next to this sex offender. Well, he was out there with my son. There's a lot of stuff that that nothing got done.
I tell you, that father is speaking in more rational tones than I would. I will say that right now. Now, put against that story, the New York City Public Schools using tax money to pay drag queens to perform for children. Tax monies to pay drag queens to pay drag queens to perform in front of children without parental knowledge or consent. That's acknowledged in city records. The Drag Queen Story Hour New York City, which has now changed its name to Drag Story Hour NYC, has received $207,000 in taxpayer funds. In the month of May alone, the drag group received $46,000 for their services, which included performing in front of kids as young as 3 years old, according to the New York Post. And they performed almost 50 times at more than 30 different schools, ranging from elementary to high school. One mother of an 11-year-old said, "I can't believe this. I'm shocked. I'm furious. He was exposed without my consent. That's not part of our curriculum." This woman, by the way, is also a candidate for New York State Assembly, so I'm sure she's going to deal with that, and I'm glad. And she said, another Republican city council member representing the Queens said, "This is wrong. I'm going to pull funding to any school in my district that has this." What is the deal about wanting to put this stuff on in front of children, unless you are trying to groom them? Homosexuals I know would not stand for this. In fact, they want nothing to do with this kind of activity. And again, I don't endorse their lifestyle. It's their lifestyle, but I'm not judging. They are friends, and I care about them. But if one of them did tell me, "Oh, I'm in favor of this," we're done. We're done. Coming up, Democrats want to be done with Papa Joe. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Democrats are saying, not just progressives like Ocasio-Cortez, a lot of Democrats are saying that Joe Biden is an anchor around the Democratic Party that has to get cut off, and there's a good reason for that. He literally the least popular president in the history of polling. No American president from Truman to Trump has been more unpopular at the 500-day mark of their presidency than Joe Biden. He's at 33% in the Quinnipiac poll, 25% among independents. And the problem is the Democrats don't seem to know why that is. They think it's because, according to the New York Times article this weekend, that it's because he failed to pass these big-ticket items. No, that's not the problem. The problem is that his failure to govern as a Harold Ford moderate. It's his failure to compromise, reach across the aisle, try to get things done with Republicans. He's gone so far to the left that it's not what the American people voted for.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, and many Democrats have said, "My party has left me." And I know several Democrats that are very good friends of mine. They are more liberal than I am on several things. But even this has gone too far. And on top of that, the way the inflation rate continues. Oh, and Biden has a response for that, by the way. Let me share this briefly with you. I'm going to share part of it now. I'll give you some more, a little bit more. From Margot Cleveland, a senior editor at The Federalist, that she says, she writes it, on Friday, after news broke that inflation again accelerated to reach a 40-year high of 8.6%, President Biden turned America's financial crisis into a national security one by telling the world that foreign leaders have near total control of the U.S. economy. What? Russia and China are now controlling our economy? That's what Biden thinks. And at the rate we're going, it will be. But, I mean, this is how he spins it. It just, Biden stated, today's report underscores why I have made fighting inflation my top economic priority. Well, you're flunking. You're flunking, and Americans are suffering. And you know they're suffering because you want them to suffer. It's not a mistake gas prices are this high. They cut off the Keystone Pipeline. They shut down oil drilling. They want to force you to pay more and more at the pump. You're going to pay more and more for goods delivered by truck to your grocers. And they want you to suffer. The only way out is an electric car. But they can't tell you where they're going to get the electricity generated. Say everybody had one. Where are you going to get the electricity? And solar panels, they announced the other day that he's going to start the American Defense Production Act to get solar panels built for Americans, as if you really want to buy one. And the press secretary, in her usual ability lately, said it's going to open up all the purse strings of the government, put all of our economic force behind it. In other words, we will buy your solar panels if you build them. So the companies out there that are building them and are dying because no one wants them, or not that many of them, now the government says, we will buy them. Oh, great. They're going to be producing more now, for sure. Wouldn't you? Hell, I'm going to go out and start building solar panels. This remark by Biden, he went on to say, Putin's price hike hit hard in May here and around the world. There was a spike when the invasion first took place in Ukraine. There was a spike in prices, but it quickly came down to the number it was at before, and it's been escalating since. And then, of course, you look at the polls. Here's Joe Concha, reporter for The Hill and contributor to Fox News.
You look at Gallup, right, and they have a poll that shows that just 24% of Democrats think that the country is going in the right direction. That's when you know you have severe problems, when only one quarter of your own party thinks that things are going well. And when you're polling in the 20s also on your handling of the economy, inflation, gas prices, crime, immigration, the border, it's easy to see how the president's own party is finding it impossible to back him to be in the Oval Office for the next 6 years. Let's remember, Joe Biden's going to be 80 in November, right? It's clear whatever fastball he had is well behind him.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, it's history, baby. You pull it out of the legacy files. There's no fastball coming from this guy, not even a spitball. And you want more evidence than what Concha just said about how many Democrats are turning against Biden? Listen to this interview that Dana Bash of CNN conducted with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and listen to how she tiptoes around the minefield.
Before we go, I just want to ask about President Biden. He is saying he's going to run again in 2024. Will you support him?
You know, if the president chooses to run again in 2024, I mean, first of all, I'm focused on winning this majority right now and preserving a majority this year in 2022. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but I think if the president has a vision, then that's something certainly we're all willing to entertain and examine when the time comes.
That's not a yes.
Yeah, you know, I think we should endorse when we get to it. But I believe that the president has been doing a very good job so far. And, you know, should he run again, I think that I think it's we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
But right now we need to focus on winning a majority instead of a presidential election.
I hope you're watching on Rumble.com, because I'm laughing. I'm just, AOC is so funny. And she's very direct at the same time. We'll take a look at it. It reminds me when I did the last presidential interview I'll ever get to do with Obama, and I told him how Claire McCaskill was losing big time at that point in Missouri against Todd Akin before he shot himself in the foot. And I said, she led your campaign for you in Missouri. She's in desperate need of help. Are you going to go down and campaign and help Claire McCaskill win re-election? And his response was, well, Claire's a good senator from Missouri. In other words, I ain't going. And he didn't. I don't think the McCaskill people ever appreciated the fact I bothered asking the question. No one else in D.C. would ask it for them. I didn't ask it for them. I asked it because it's a legitimate question. But then, back to Joe Concha and this Biden White House and the crisis that envelops everything.
When polls show that two-thirds of the country believes that this president and this administration, they're too slow to react to crisis after crisis, inflation being the main one, that's the very definition of leading from behind. And the problem for the Democratic Party is there isn't an obvious candidate to replace Joe Biden. The vice president is less popular than he is. Pete Buttigieg is seen as a possible replacement as well. He has failed craptastically on his handling of the supply chain crisis. Bernie Sanders is well into his 80s. Elizabeth Warren has a severe authenticity problem, and Andrew Cuomo apparently not available for comment. So the Democratic Party is in big, big trouble right now, guys, and the party knows it.
They know it. They've got no game. They got no players to put on the field. They have no plan. They don't even have a ball. They're just wandering around. And the things they keep proposing are nonsensical. Going to get rid of the fossil fuel industry? Well, that sounds great once we have a replacement in place. Back to the article from the Federalist, Margot Cleveland wrote. She said, you have Democrats like Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow, which we ran the other day for you, portraying electric vehicles as a solution, gushing about her electric car as she rolled past the gas stations and look at all the high gas prices. That makes you feel good? Does it make you feel good that you're watching people out there pay that much at the pump and you can afford an electric car? She's a multimillionaire, so yeah, she can. But the article goes on to say the move to electric vehicles will not lessen our country's dependence on problematic countries. China holds a near monopoly on cobalt and lithium, two rare earth metals necessary to produce car batteries. China controlling 86% of the Democrat Republic of Congo's cobalt exports. Congo holds 60% of the world's mined cobalt, which, by the way, Hunter Biden played a role in China getting that stranglehold on the cobalt supply. Did Daddy get any money from that? We're going to get the answers to these someday. Biden can claim, I didn't know. I didn't, and you know what? That would be a legitimate excuse for him. I didn't know. Coming up, how whistleblowers are showing how the California state sanctuary policy is working against vital security interests for our nation. And a special story about advertisers for this program. Stand by, please. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
Road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So whistleblowers are detailing how California's sanctuary policy, state policy of being a sanctuary state, is helping and abetting aliens and therefore destroying our national security and helping them evade arrest. California Governor Jerry Brown back in 2017 signed a law that allows illegals to secure driver's license in his state. Other states have become blue state sanctuaries, have done the same or similar to it. But whistleblowers close to the Department of Homeland Security say that California's sanctuary state policy is a vital tool for smugglers working for cartels who bring thousands of border crossers and illegals to the U.S. every day. California officers are not allowed to intervene ever. The officers literally say, we wish we could help, but we're not allowed to. If illegal aliens have seatbelts on, the cops can't stop them. Therefore, they're not going to be reporting them as smuggling as long as they're following state laws. The sheriffs, by law, cannot pick up immigrants even if they had an ICE detainer after they finish their sentence. They just let them go. Data in California confirms this repeatedly. Federal immigration officials revealing that L.A. County, California, releasing about 100 criminal illegals from their local custody every day, 100 every day, rather than turn them over to ICE agents for arrest and deportation. One whistleblower says because of these sanctuary policies, there's 70 to 100 criminal aliens hitting the streets of L.A., just L.A., every day. And our open border policy does not help, does it? It's national security. And we have had illegals at the border, not just from the triangle of Latin America and Mexico or South America or even Cuba or Haiti. We've had them from 150-plus countries, including Middle East, jihadist countries. We have no idea who's crossing the border. We've already caught at least 50 or more known terrorists on a no-fly list. They could not fly into the States, so they get to Mexico and join a caravan and come on in. This is going to come back. I pray you and your family are safe and protected from it. It's not just those along the border, because the government, in the dead of night, continues to ship them into various places around the nation. Governor Abbott of Texas and Governor DeSantis of Florida said we'll send them to Biden's home state of Delaware and to D.C. Let them deal with them. Of course, then they'll ship them somewhere else. All right, so let me share something with you. I have told you, and I want you always, I encourage you to support the advertisers of this program. They keep it on the air. Believe me, they keep us on the air. Wellington Environmental has been with me since I first started the program back in 2014. My thanks to Tom Wellington and his staff. And you know why? Because they get results. This is mainly a business-to-business company. They do help with homes and mold remediation, things of that nature. So if you need them, I strongly encourage you to call them and then support this program. But he's also here because they walk into businesses like a hospital and say, well, we've heard about you from on Larry Connors' program. So name, brand, recognition pays off like that. Another is John Beal Roofing. I'm a spokesman for John Beal, and they also add additional dollars on this program. Thank you. And I've had, I don't know how many John Beal employees tell me, you know, people calling here all the time asking, if you own the company, do you work here? Will you come to my house to do my roof? You do not want me to do your roof. First of all, I don't do projects, and that is a project. Go to the John Beal Roofing Company and get qualified people to do your roof, and they are great about it. And again, that's another long-term sponsor for this program. And Rottler Pest Control has been on for numerous years, and I endorse them because I've used them. I don't endorse anyone if I don't believe in them. And Jay Ackerman Toyota. Jay wanted to immediately get on the program. He loves the fact that we're patriotic. And you know what he said after being on a few months? He said, our sales are up. Even our used car sales are going way up. Our shop that repairs any vehicle, we're getting all kinds of repairs going into the shop. Thank you, folks. And I also appreciate you telling them you heard about them on Larry Connors USA. And Jay's already heard some of those comments as well. But this one I'm going to share with you here, this one came out of nowhere. I went out to Cafe Napoli in St. Charles the other day. They have three locations, you know, in Town and Country, Napoli and Clayton, and the one in St. Charles. And at St. Charles, Kai Piatosa, one of the sons, Andy's the other, of the owner of Cafe Napoli's, greet me at the door, and we're talking. He said, you know, we had somebody drive in from Fort Leonard Wood the other day, a couple. They'd heard about us on your program. They drove in from Fort Leonard Wood to come to Cafe Napoli here in St. Charles. And I said, I think he said they had the tomahawk steak, each of them, and they loved it, and they drove back. They made a trip to drive from Fort Leonard Wood to Cafe Napoli to eat and then go back. And I said, I know their gas had to cost more than what they paid for the meal. And he said, yeah, I'm sure it did. But that's the power of advertising with this program. I don't know if I'll ever meet those folks, but I thank you. I thank all of you who go in and tell them you heard about them on Larry Connors USA. And I am, of course, the Cafe Napoli ambassador anyway. But I also proudly represent each of these other countries, the companies. Please support them. They support us. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.